Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into the show. It is Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host, live from Las Vegas. Your other host today, live from Denver, Colorado, James Salinas. James, happy Monday. How are you?
It's a good Monday out here, Pritch, in the Mile High City. How about you? How was your weekend?
Weekend was great. Outstanding. We're dealing with monsoons right now. It's crazy. Thunderstorm warnings, flash flood warnings all over the place out here in Vegas. But still a great weekend as always here in fabulous Las Vegas, James. So, you know, the NFL has a secret, but I think that secret is out now. They love drama. It's the reason why there's a calendar year discussion when it comes to the National Football League. And so we certainly had that soap opera, if you will, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, the latest, Ian Rapoport, he reports that the Packers indicate to people, or Aaron Rodgers indicates to people close to him, that he does plan to play for Green Bay this season. Your thoughts on that one, as we heard from Adam Schefter that he doesn't want anything to do with Green Bay.
Well, where do we go with these, Pritch? It's just recycling. I think for Rodgers, like, just such a, what, think about it from this perspective here, not only for Rodgers, but for this team and this franchise, the distraction that comes with this. Mm-hmm. And all this, when this was stirred up months ago, really right around, centering around the NFL draft back in April, and all the talk about here in Denver, and would he land here, and all this speculation. He was playing golf with John Elway in California right before the draft. Let's read between the lines with those things. Like, sometimes, yeah, it's a 365-day news cycle for the NFL. We know they make themselves relevant each day of the year. And throughout these last three-plus months here with this news about Aaron Rodgers, I mean, yeah, the NFL wants to have this out there. They want to have discussion, always in the name, they're talking about it. But sometimes, isn't there just fatigue? I feel like, for me personally, it's Aaron Rodgers fatigue at this point. Figure out where you're going to go. Be up front. Let's get right to the point. Enough of this read between the line and having these little subtle messages in between or leaking things out with certain sources, whoever these sources might be. You're getting conflicting reports now just over the last couple days. Is he going to retire? Now he wants to play there. Mm-hmm. At this point, just figure out where you want to go, and then the books can set the line. Right now, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not going to bet on anything with the Packers. I'm not going to bet on anything in the NFC, within the division, the NFC North. Like, at this point here, all the future bets are off for me. Figure out where you're going to go, put the numbers up accordingly, and then I'll see if I want to play.
Well, it is drama. It is a soap opera. I don't want to bet on soap operas either, to be honest with you. I mean, they could go either way, I think, in this situation, but trying to figure this out. You have a GM that is hopeful for a positive outcome. You know, you just have so many factors at play here, James, and you're right. When it comes to that entire division, though, the NFC North, I don't want to part with my money in any way, whether it's the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings, I mean, anybody in that division right now. It just seems like that division's a mess.
It is. And whether you're in a team of transition, we know Detroit, complete makeover of that team, new quarterback, new coaching staff, a lot of new players. It's going to take a while to get that team righted, if they can do that at all. And then thinking about, at least with Minnesota, I think there's stability with Minnesota. There's stability with Zimmer as the coach. We know who the quarterback is going to be for that team. We know the identity. They're going to want to run the football with Dalvin Cook and be able to throw the ball. And Justin Jefferson, tremendous season last year as a rookie receiver. I think he only gets better. So there's opportunities for Minnesota to be able to put some points on the board. Their defense is going to struggle. But at least we know where they're at from an organizational standpoint here, even with the Bears. And we see they move up and get a new quarterback, and Justin Fields, quarterback of the future, put Mitchell Trubisky behind them and moving forward. And now, is it Dalton that's going to keep hearing these more things leaking out? Who's going to start? And it's going to be Andy Dalton week one. Not really sure why or where that's going to go, but eventually we see Fields. But just a lot of question marks, mm-hmm, up and down the division, but all of it centered around number one, namely Aaron Rodgers and the distraction that it brings to his franchise and then within that entire NFC North division.
Right. James, the intrigue would be to whether or not you want to bet on any situation right now. I think, why not wait? Why not let it play itself out? Because I think that becomes too expensive. to try to guess or look in a crystal ball on what's going to happen. I'm sure there's some numbers out when they're available. Right now, the Packers are off the board. But look, we look for opportunities as bettors for sure. But this gets really difficult to me when you're trying to disseminate information, whether it's Adam Schefter or Ian Rapoport. It's just too many variables, and it's always a fluid situation. It's Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host from Las Vegas. Your other host is James Salinas. He's out in Denver, Colorado. So, James Salinas, Aaron Rodgers, I want to get to week one because there is a number out there. Week one, Packers at the Saints. The Saints are -3, James. Now, we got the Michael Thomas information about his ankle surgery. He's going to need about 6 to 8 weeks in terms of rehabbing. And then also, he's going to need some more time to get in shape. You got a new quarterback out there, too, with the Saints, Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill. We just don't know. And then the Aaron Rodgers fluid situation. What do you make of this number right now, the Saints -3, to open up the season week one?
A lot of times books will circle, at least it used to be. This number was circled because there was a lot of things pending, whether it was some injuries or in this case here. We know where the injuries are for, you mentioned with the Saints, and Michael Thomas now going to be lost for maybe half the season at least, and maybe some disconnect there between Michael Thomas and that franchise front office, et cetera. The quarterback position, I suspect we're going to see plenty of Hill and Winston at the quarterback position. Who's going to start and how that's going to play out, not sure as of yet. Not something I want to start to speculate and start betting on. I think we'll see both quarterbacks. We know how Peyton just has such an affinity for Peyton Hill, or for Hill to come out and Taysom Hill to run some of those interesting play sets that he likes to put out there, but mm-hmm. Too many question marks. I mean, the fact that there's a number here, that number right there, Saints laying three, that number is speculative to say that Aaron Rodgers will not be playing on week one, because without Drew Brees in the lineup, this Saints team, so many question marks offensively for the Saints going forward. Love the offensive line, very solid offensive line, and we know Kamara is always available to make plays, not only running the ball, but receiving the football out of the backfield. But now not only without Michael Thomas, you take Emmanuel Sanders, he's gone, all the receptions and targets he had last year, as well as Jared Cook at the tight end position. This is going to be a complete makeover aside from the offensive line, Pritchett, for New Orleans, and I don't know what to make of that offense right now. Is that something I want to bet into right now and say, yeah, the Saints should be a 3-point favorite in this case, especially with the unknown of Aaron Rodgers and trying to read between seeing all the tea leaves with these things? I don't drink tea anyway, so I'm not interested in tea leaves or drinking right. That. Pass it on. Get your roster set, and then I'll decide what I want to do week one.
Okay, fortune cookies, whatever we can get information from, right? I mean, so you had last Friday, SI's Bill Hubert report said the Las Vegas sports books are preparing for Aaron Rodgers to retire, so you have that. But yet we don't have the Green Bay Packers are off the board right now, but yet we still have this number out there, -3 for the Saints. And so let's look ahead. Let's just try to guess if we can, James. Aaron Rodgers does show up for the Packers tomorrow. He reports to camp. Does this number change in your opinion?
I think so. Okay. Now, if he's showing up there, but then again, what does that mean between now? A lot can happen now between, 6-7 weeks before the season actually kicks off come week one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think anything you're wanting to do now in a futures market, not only because of Aaron Rodgers' situation and the question marks there with the offense going forward for New Orleans, but even some of these restrictions we're hearing about, not so much that there's going to be a forfeit in week one, but we're hearing about players and whether they're going to get fined with vaccines and coming up with not following protocols, all these kind of things. Like, we're not on the other side. We're not completely on the other side, and the pandemic is behind us. We had to deal with all that last year as a handicap perspective, knowing that the longer we wait, the more information we get as far as player availability, those types of things. That was information was key, and that's what I'm betting on. I'm betting right on information that I know is what it is. It's solid. It's we can see it. We know it's actually going to happen. And in this case here, this is all speculative. I'm not going to put any money when it comes to speculating on what we might see from the Packers. I never thought that they could trade him. I didn't think the PR nightmare for one mm-hmm. for the Packers to trade Aaron Rodgers. And now with Rodgers maybe having a back pedal, maybe not. It's, maybe That's not realistic. And he doesn't have the leverage. He's still under contract there. So does he retire? Does he play? I don't know. I guess we'll find out soon enough when they report. You said they were reporting to camp tomorrow. At least maybe more speculation to come Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you got Davante Adams, too. He broke off contract negotiations right there, too. So and just looking at the Packers in general as a team, Aaron Rodgers is in shape. He's gone through his normal offseason training, but he has not participated with the Packers in any way in offseason programs. So typically Aaron Rodgers has done that. And I wonder, like you mentioned, what does this do? Is he behind, or can Aaron Rodgers, I guess, pick up where he left off last year from an MVP standpoint?
I think so. I mean, he's a veteran player and he's been around a long time. They didn't have any of those. They didn't have all those offseason workouts last year. I think he did just fine leading the team to the NFC Championship. So I think for somebody like Rodgers, he's been around for so long. He knows the playbook inside and out. He knows his teammates there as well. I don't think that's going to be it. If he doesn't show up tomorrow, and how much more time does he miss, or because he wasn't there in some of the offseason workouts, to me, that's not a factor as far as, well, is he going to be in sync with his team? I think the bigger thing is just all the distraction that continues to go with this, not only for him and the franchise, but his teammates too. Now you're seeing it with Davante Adams. Adam, like, well, if he's not going to be here, why am I going to sign a right. contract extension here? My numbers are definitely going to play. He's a great receiver, but yeah, also it helps when you're with a Hall of Fame quarterback out there throwing you open passes, you know, getting you open as well with the ability to throw the ball the way that Aaron Rodgers does. So yeah, you can see why he's like, yeah, this is not where I want to be if Aaron Rodgers is actually out the door. Too many things to speculate on right now. Plenty of time to let all this drama play out for the Green Bay Packers, but just the distraction, and an unneeded distraction for a team that was there at the doorstep to go to the Super Bowl last year, and with rare Aaron Rodgers in tow, always there, a competitive team in the NFC to get to the Super Bowl. But just distractions all around as you lead into camp that all the other players that not named Aaron Rodgers have to deal with.
Well, that's why I say the NFC North is a mess, because, okay, Andy Dalton or Fields. To me, it should be Fields, right? They're undecided there. Okay, you got the Lions. I mean, they're Lions. And then you have the Vikings. You said Coach Zimmer, I think he's on the hot seat. I think Kirk Cousins is on hot seat too, but they got a new offensive coordinator as well. And I don't know, maybe the stage is set for Aaron Rodgers and all this drama to just go away once he comes back. And then here you go with the Green Bay Packers right back in the NFC Championship game, probably against Tom Brady.
At least being at the top of the NFC North standings right. as it comes to that piece here. Yeah, for sure. And just thinking about the other piece, though, too, we talked about the distractions for his teammates. How much of the distraction, though, does this carry on throughout the season? Obviously, Rodgers, if he does come back and play, and he is a Green Bay Packer for 2021, still, there's a disconnect there. That's where all this stemmed from. Where did all this stem from a year ago, 2 years ago, maybe for a few years through the draft and the way that they were drafting, or the lack of offensive weapons that they were providing him in those early round draft picks? And maybe this is probably something that's been building for quite a while, and I think there's some disconnect there. Even we saw in the NFC Championship game to kick the field goal rather than put it in your Hall of Fame quarterback's hands to make the play in the red zone on fourth down to try to get you into the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think there's a disconnect there. Does all of a sudden now that get rectified and he comes to camp as a happy camper? I don't think so. I think this is something still that is going to be, this is going to be a constant distraction, even if he does come back for the Packers throughout the season, I think.
Yeah, they have the offensive line intact. Bakhtiari's back. Runyon's out there again. Billy Turner's moving to tackle, right tackle from guard. He used to be in Denver. But behind those guys up front, they're all young. So it's a veteran group on offense and defense when it comes to the Packers. We'll just see what type of shape and certainly what kind of mindset Aaron Rodgers is in. If he's in that MVP mindset, when those win totals come back out, I'll be curious to see what they're going to be with the Packers and how people view the Packers. Moving on, James, the NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reports that the Texans are now willing to trade Deshaun Watson. I mean, this is ridiculous. You talk about, okay, one soap opera to the other one. What's going to outrate? Who's going to outrate the Aaron Rodgers soap opera or the Deshaun Watson one?
I think for Deshaun Watson, early on, it was he wanted to leave. He wanted to be traded. And then everything that was swirling around him personally off the field, now all that got put aside as far as his trade value and availability. I mean, right now, none of those things have been settled. He's got 20-some-odd civil suits against him. Those are some serious allegations, and all those things have to play out, and that's going to take time. And we also know that regardless of whether how those verdicts come down or how those settlements are handled, the NFL still has its own protocol that it likes to levy against players. And do we see Deshaun Watson in any uniform this season? I mean, that remains to be seen. But if you're another team, is that baggage right now until everything is cleared out and you know exactly what went down? Is that something that you're willing to risk and start to put all this draft capital towards a great player like Deshaun Watson when he's on the field? It's not in question. It's all the issues surrounding him off the field. Now you're trading for that with the uncertainty. You would have to know absolutely, all right, that all that's going to be pushed aside, all that's over with, and it's all said and done. He's going to be able to be out on the football field for us in 2021. Because until those things get rectified, I can't imagine any team wanting to get involved with trying to trade for Deshaun Watson at this point.
Well, he has no trade clause, so I think it's selective anyway. But the fact that the Texans are finally saying, okay, yeah, we're willing to trade the guy after all this has been established, a lot of serious allegations, like you mentioned. But in terms of teams that might be interested, they're going to have to give up a lot for Deshaun Watson, apparently. We've heard about the Eagles, and we've heard about the Dolphins. I don't know if the list is that much longer than those two teams right now, James.
I mean, you look at across the league, sure, there's plenty of teams that need quarterbacks, but you also need a quarterback that is going to be free of drama, especially when you're going to have to pay. I mean, reports are talking about, what is it, 3 first-round picks and some other talent to be able to bring some starters over as well. Like, he's going to command, without all these things swirling around, just his play on the football field. Yeah, he's going to command. He's right in his prime right now. He's just getting started in the NFL and been playing on a bad team through his career. So how much you figure he was responsible? Just thinking about last season and how well he had to play just to try to keep Houston competitive in some. I mean, they were a bad season last year for sure. But anything that they did positively, it was all on the shoulders of Deshaun Watson and his playmaking ability. But you got to be clean right now. So is it Miami, like you said, or any of these other teams? If any team is going to want to get involved in these sweepstakes, they're obviously going to be doing their. It's big time business. We know that in the NFL, and they're going to do their homework to find out and get all the details, all the inside information on his issues. But right now, none of that's been. They don't know that right now. I don't know how that you would, and why would you want to get involved right now to try to trade for a quarterback with that much baggage until it's rectified?
Yeah, it gets really difficult right there for sure. I don't know, because the quarterback is the CEO of a football team. And so you have to factor in everything off the field that's going on with Deshaun Watson, as well as what he could do for you on the field even. So in terms of teams that want to pay that kind of price, those are the two teams that or routinely talked about, whether it's Miami or Philly in this instance for Deshaun Watson. But either way, it's going to be difficult for the Texans to move him at this point. Okay, further on, Ian Rappaport, he's been busy today, James. Joe Burrow will be on the field healthy when training camp begins. He's not on the PUP or NFI list that the team just announced there, James. So I know, Joe Burrow, you were concerned about that injury, for him coming back from that significant knee injury.
Pritch, from your experience, how does that – I'm still skeptical of it. I know it was major reconstructive surgery that he had. It went beyond just the ACL injury. He had other damage within that knee. He's just – we're sitting here. That surgery happened at some point in the early part of December. So we're roughly only, 8 months removed approximately from that major reconstructive surgery. And to say that he's fully healthy now – I know young guys heal quickly, and good for them. And Joe Burrow, we all want to see him back on the field. He's a tremendous player and playmaker and great leader for that team going forward. But – I mean, we're just, say, roughly 8 months removed from major reconstructive knee surgery, and you're going to say he is ready to go full throttle for this season? I don't know. When it comes to being able – who makes those approvals? Pritch, is it those team doctors?
I know
you've talked about team doctors before. And yeah. Is it always siding with the best interest of the player? or is it siding with the best interest of the team? I think for the team, for sure, they want to get Joe Burrow out there come week one. He's going to give them the most, by far, the best advantage to compete from week to week in the NFL. But from the player standpoint, I mean, is he really healthy? Is he really that far at 100%? I'm very skeptical of the fact that he is 100% right now to step out there, just shortly removed from major reconstructive surgery.
Well, you know, James, I know there's advances in medicine and surgery procedures. We got Dak Prescott, who is performing okay from that situation with that ankle injury that he had. And now Burrow with a significant knee injury. I remember Jerry Rice came back during the same year after tearing his ACL. It's amazing what the body can do sometimes in terms of healing and what a player can put themselves through in terms of wanting to play. And as a young player, I could see why Burrow would want to go out there and risk it and play. Certainly when you get a little bit older, maybe a little bit wiser, you might think about it a little bit more. But at this point in Burrow's career, I'm sure that he's eager to get back out there on the field.
Absolutely. He's such a competitor, right? And he just burst onto the scene from what he did in colleges that last year in LSU and the sensational season he had there, bringing that over to the NFL and fun to watch. Hit way too many times behind a bad offensive line, too many calls for him dropping back in the pocket, throwing the football. But yeah, he's such a competitor and he wants to be the leader of that team and he relishes and understands the role and responsibility of that. But yeah, sometimes younger, you don't always make the best decisions for yourself because you feel like you're more, the younger you are, the more invincible you feel. And then we know clearly as you start to age, you don't get older, Pritch, you just get wiser. When it comes to your body, you know your body better once you get older. So there might be a little youthful exuberance there too from a competitive nature because that's who he is. I don't want anything to do with, I'm not going to be betting anything. We got plenty of time. We'll have preseason games. It's going to be great for us to be able to assess. Let's actually see him on the field. I don't want to hear about what he's doing in training camp. Let's see it done on the field and we'll see what he looks like come preseason here in a few weeks.
Great advice from James Salinas right there. There's no need to rush into any situation. There's plenty of time. These are the headlines. We get information. We're going to gather that information and we're going to discuss the information certainly as we get closer and closer to the season here in the National Football League. There's some good games on the schedule in Major League Baseball. We begin our preview of all those games. Come up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Football season is right around the corner, so it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app, stop by any MGM casino on the strip, have that state-issued ID, open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love the technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21. And physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. And so, James, Major League Baseball, I might get it. I might get Armageddon. The Washington Nationals, they're losing four in a row. So there's always the Scherzer thing, but maybe his contract doesn't suggest they're going to move on from him at all. But maybe, you just never know. But they have the Phillies on the road as a dog. Philly is minus 114, 9.5 the total in the game.
I was looking at getting involved with Philly here, and they are a favorite. It's basically laying a quarter on the Phillies to win, and not because it's the pitching matchup here. As far as Howard, it's Howard going for the Phillies. Really an opener, in a sense, maybe one time through the order. If he pitches three innings, maybe four, depending how well he does through that first time in the order. But the bigger concern for me and why I'm leaning towards the Phillies here, I haven't made a play on this, and I'm not – completely convinced that I will.
Okay.
But it's only going to be Phillies or nothing for me. Just thinking about where the Nats are. They just got swept in Baltimore. Couldn't hold the late lead and dumped it again in the ninth. This is a team that when you talk about, and I know baseball is quirky because its momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. In this case here, Ross pitching for the Nats. He's had a few bumps in the road, but he's been pretty consistent this year about delivering quality starts for the Nationals. But just wonder where the mindset is of this team right now. You mentioned Scherzer. Could he be on the trade block potentially? He got scratched from his start on Saturday, saying he had tricep soreness potentially. Mm-hmm. Or was that, yeah, we're looking to ship him right now. We don't need him to throw anymore for us if we're going to trade for him. We don't want anything to happen in said start. And maybe that vetoes any kind of trade that they might be discussing because, yeah, he may very well be going. Who knows? More to speculate. We'll find out here by the end of the week once the trade deadline eclipses and goes past. But I think here, the Nats just don't look engaged. I watched that game against Baltimore yesterday. Those guys were not taking quality at bats. Right. It was get up there and we're hacking. We are swinging the bat and I'm not looking at hitting behind runners. We're just trying to drive the ball. I'm going to take my swings, take my cuts and see if I can launch one out of there. It's just not a team right now that I feel like is collectively focused. There's so many things swirling with this team, not having the season that they wanted, sitting, what, 8 games below 500? Mm-hmm. I just don't like where their mindset is right now. So for me, it's going to be Phillies or nothing.
Yeah, you would think, too, that division, nobody really wants it. But yet, here you got the Nationals not inspired at all. And then you got the injuries, too. Castro and Schwarber. I mean, you have these injuries. The pop in the lineup's just not there. And now they're losing interest, which is sad because you read comments from players. They're aware of this trade deadline, James. And so much is going on. And the Nationals have been through this before, too, in terms of a trade deadline, getting rid of everybody, and then restocking. And they won a World Series that way. So this is an organization or players that have kind of been through this before. And I wonder how they're going to react as well.
That's where when you have expectations to go to the World Series and or be at least be competitive and get to the playoffs for this matter for the Nationals, and you've been there and done that just a couple years ago, and that's the mindset going in. And now the fact you mentioned the injuries to the lineup, also injuries to the pitching staff too, with Strasburg's been on the shelf. Just this is not a deep team anymore. It's Scherzer and a collection of other starters there. John Lester, although he hit the ball pretty well the other night, but I think here, yeah, that's the challenge. If teams aren't engaged right now, especially with getting up to this trade deadline, if you had high expectations and you're not meeting those, yeah, it's always something of discussion because you're not clearly focused on the game at hand.
Yeah, I was looking at that total, but, you know, they are hacking. But yet baseball is quirky that way. You know, balls can still leave the park and you still have pop in both lineups from certain players on both sides.
And if that's the way to go, it's sitting at, what was it, 9?
Nine and a half out here in Vegas.
9.5. I see some 9. Juice pretty heavy if you want that 9. I think that would be the only move I would want to make, to your point here, would be, I mean, the Phillies, especially if you get into the Phillies pen, and not that the Nationals pen has been very good either. The Phillies pen on the back end is really a disaster, so that might be a better spot to get involved in. I like the Phillies on the side here laying a quarter, but the total sitting at 9, juice to the over at $1.20, that might be a better route to go as well, because I think I think from the Phillies standpoint, yeah, they still got something to play for, and I still like what the pop that they got in the lineup, like you mentioned as well.
Yeah, and their pen is a disaster. I like that too, to be honest with you. The NBA draft is coming up this week. Certainly BetMGM has now dropped some futures too. We're going to take a look at some of those futures coming up next. The VSiN football betting guides are coming soon, and there is no better way to prepare for the college or pro football seasons. And our experts are providing profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20, and discounts are available when you buy both. Now is the time to reserve your copy or sign up for VSiN All Access and get everything we offer for the entire football season. Sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today. James, I remember during the season after the James Harden trade, there was a pretty good ticket out there for MVP. And we saw that price decline, too, after James Harden settled in there with the Nets. But then injuries happened. So we have futures right now for the MVP of the NBA for the 2021-2022 season. I just want your thoughts on some of these prices right now. Luka, favorite, plus 375. Embiid is at plus 650. You got KD at plus 700. Giannis, plus 750.
Giannis been there and done that. And I guess you just talked about the injury and James Harden, that really derailed his opportunity to win the MVP last year in the trade going to Brooklyn, and was terrific there, especially being the lead facilitator for that team and taking on that role and responsibility, but kind of stay healthy. And I think we just saw that not only through the regular season, but through the playoffs. I mean, it really impacted, I think, who the two teams we saw were in the finals with the Bucks and the Suns, and had both teams were the beneficiary of some injuries to their opponents, especially the Suns, on all three within all three series that they got to play. But got to be healthy. I think that's the challenge here. You got to look at, all right, how about players that can be durable? And they got to put up numbers for sure, be consistent that way, but you got to be on the court. Somebody like Giannis, he was able to come back from that knee, that hyperextension. It looked bad. We didn't know if he was even going to be available in the finals. Well, he definitely was available and absolutely dominated, especially as, you know, once he got his legs back under him after the first couple games. So, yeah, Giannis sitting there at plus 750. I think for me, if I was going to do this, I'd want to have something where you're gambling on health and risk, to the risk of players staying healthy all season and their teams staying healthy too. So I got to find something further down the board that's going to bring more payday for my risk reward. What about, and not that he's all susceptible to being injured too. We saw that in the playoffs. But what about Trae Young? Yeah, he can be out just like any of these other players, but how much maturation did we see, especially in the playoffs, from Trae Young to really explode out there, the way that the confidence that he played with, his leadership that he showed out there on the court with his team. And that was a team that had some injuries to it too, namely DeAndre Hunter, who will finally come back, take the offseason to heal up, come back healthy next year. I think for the Hawks, they have plenty to build off of last year, and it's going to be led by Trae Young. He's way down the list, sitting there at 20-1, but was really excited to see how well he played and just the confidence level that he played with, as well as the confidence that he brought to his team.
Yeah, James, I also wonder what teams are going to do as they approach the new season in a matter of weeks, really, when you think about it. For instance, Trae Young in Atlanta, what are they going to do from a personnel standpoint? There's going to be a number of free agents out there available that could help that situation. You think about the Joker out there in Denver. He's going to get Murray back, hopefully. And what moves is Conley going to do, the GM up there in Denver? What moves will the Lakers do? You hear rumors about Russell Westbrook being added to the mix out there. What would that do for Anthony Davis or LeBron James if Westbrook was out there with the Lakers? So many factors, too. I wonder, before considering any of these futures, do we consider what the front office moves will be in offseason as well?
Then it comes down to speculation again. And we've been talking a lot about the speculation and rumors that fly out, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or quarterbacks in the NFL. And in this case here, some of these players on this list as well, looking to be traded. Damian Lillard, is he going to find a new team? Is he going to be in Portland next year? Or does he end up wearing a new uniform? That's going to be impactful. And then the other piece of if somebody else is coming, if it's Russell Westbrook, it's just so hard right now. You're talking about speculation that you have to bet on, as well as now this early. I mean, you got a full season to go through, and we saw what a grind it was at a 72-game schedule last year. Now it's going to be back to a full 82-game schedule, I suspect, for this next NBA season. Got to stay healthy, and then you got to have your players intact. Put the rosters together. Once we get those solidified, I'll be much more inclined to maybe want to get involved when I know, all the speculation aside, now we have on paper what the rosters look like, and we'll take it from there.
Seven different MVPs in the last 9 years, too, when it comes to the NBA. And you're going to add back, if they do go back to that full schedule, which a lot of people are anticipating, too. So let's consider these futures for the scoring champion. Bradley Beal, he's involved in trade rumors right now. He's a favorite, plus 275. Luka, depending on what Dallas does, he's plus 450. Curry with Clay back is at plus 500, too. From a scoring champion situation, James, what do you think?
think, again, that you got to stay. We can't do anything with Beal. You don't know if Beal's going to be a Wizard or is he going to be somewhere else. And his number's so short, now you're betting on speculation as well as staying healthy all season long. And we've seen Beal have some injury issues throughout his career, too. I think for Luka, yeah, is he going to be on the floor? I guess that's the other piece as far as scoring champion is, yeah, you got to be available, too. How many days and games are certain players going to have, say, the load management or maintenance days? Somebody like Curry, we know he can fill it up, but he's going to have his share of maintenance days over the course of the season, too. So I would be looking more so at younger players and players that, like, again, a Trae Young way down there at 25-1, just the range that we saw. That kid found his range, and it starts as soon as he crosses half court. Maybe I'm just a little biased. I didn't think we were going to see that in Trae Young. He far surpassed my expectations for him as a player in the NBA, and now with that experience and now that the confidence that we saw grow with that young player, I think we're going to see great things out of him. He's such a tough guard out there.
Kevin Durant's 25-1 on that list.
Well, you better stay healthy too, KD. Right. You got to stay healthy and not have your share of all these load management days. Plus the fact that if they are healthy, all three of them out there, now you're going to be sharing shots. He'll have his games where he's putting in 40. He'll have other nights where Kyrie is the main scorer and putting in his own 40. And Harden's always capable of doing the same thing. I think there's too many players. Not enough balls around and not enough opportunities shot-wise collectively over the course of 82 games where I'd want to say Kevin Durant. He's capable, but not with that roster the way it's constructed there in Brooklyn.
Yeah, this entire offseason, though, is going to consist of ballers just shooting threes. James, this is a dribble, penetrate, kick-out league, right?
It is. Yeah. It's a guard-oriented league. It's a shooting. Or you got to have ball skills with handling the basketball and be able to create your own shot and create your own shots for others. Again, that's something that Trae Young did very well, and I love his range. He's not afraid to shoot it and can make with the confidence that he shoots with, like what we're going to see out of Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks next season.
Yeah, two categories right there, both with Trae Young. Intriguing odds, 25-1, 20-1 MVP right there for the NBA. Come up next on the program, Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA expert. I mentioned the NBA draft being this week, and also USA basketball. We'll get Jonathan Von Tobel's thoughts coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. With BetMGM's Money Monday Club, a $10 free bet will automatically be added to your account when you place a total of $50 in wagers between Monday and Sunday. That's right. You'll wake up to a $10 free bet every Monday just for betting $50 during the previous 7 days. Get rewarded for your bets every week at BetMGM, the King of Sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21. Located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., 800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana and Tennessee. Call or text the red line, 800-889-9789. Money Monday Club, not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today. Happy to bring on to the program right now Jonathan Von Tobel, our VSiN senior NBA expert. JVT, how are you?
I'm really good. Pritch, what's going on?
A lot. USA basketball. They stink right now. But let's focus on the NBA here because we got the NBA draft and maybe perhaps some movement from marquee players. So Ben Simmons, I guess the Raptors could be interested in him. Bradley Beal, don't know where he's going to go. But James and I, we're just talking about some futures. I just want your thoughts on what the offseason could be from the NBA before we consider any situations in terms of betting.
You know, I think it's going to be a relatively dull offseason, okay. Pritch, to be quite honest, right? Like, we know Kawhi Leonard, it sounds like Woj had the report the other day that he's probably going to be with the Los Angeles Clippers. I think I brought that up to you guys before, 99.9% on my end. And even if he does go somewhere, coming off of an ACL injury, which he's probably not going to be available for the majority of the year, if not, because we know Kawhi Leonard, the entire year. So he's not going to move the future market. And then you get the other two, right? Ben Simmons, Damian Lillard, and then Bradley Beal, I guess we'll call it three. So we'll see if those guys kind of move. And a couple of them, Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard, depending on the situation they go to, have the potential to move the market. We just don't know whether that's going to happen, right? Bradley Beal, we don't even know if he's going to be moved or wants to be moved. We're going to get some clarity, it sounds like, in the next couple of days. And when it comes to Damian Lillard and Ben Simmons, you know, I have said this 1,000 times, but, you know, the deal just has to make sense, right? If you are Philadelphia, now that Toronto, for example, is in the mix, maybe that is a deal that you potentially make. A Pascal Siakam or an OG Anunoby type, some combination of some other assets, could be enough to push you in that direction to trade Ben Simmons. You know, you're a team that needs players that are going to increase or keep the window open for your championship. Draft capital is not going to help you. A player like James Wiseman is not going to help you. So those deals to me are off the table. Damian Lillard has a lot more options in terms of where the Portland Trailblazers might want to deal him, right? Because if you deal him, there's a potential now that it's a fire sale-esque type of situation, and a lot of those pieces are on the move, whether, you know, CJ or CJ McCollum, you have Norm Powell, all of these other guys. So Damian Lillard is probably the biggest one to move. We'll see where he ends up going. But I think for the most part, it's going to be kind of a boring offseason.
JVT, you mentioned some trades potentially out there. We'll see how that shakes down. But thinking about the draft coming up here in a couple days, some speculation that the Rockets are aggressively pursuing the number one pick. They're sitting number two right now, but apparently they may not like their standing right there. Obviously, it's got to be to go up to get Cade Cunningham. But can you see that happening? Have you seen anything or heard anything about the Rockets really being seriously about moving up one spot so that they could secure Cade Cunningham? The number one pick.
James, I'm seriously pursuing being a millionaire in the next week, but I don't know if that's going to be happening, right? So I think the Rockets are going to try, but I just don't know if that's going to be the case. Look, we do this in any draft, right? Whether it is the NFL draft, whether it's Major League, I'll even say the Major League Baseball draft, even though we don't follow it as closely as a collective, right? We always get to this spot where it's a team at the top, it's like the Detroit Pistons, who all of a sudden you're like, hey, maybe they're trading out of that spot. Maybe this is going to be some movement here. But there's a couple of things, right? One, remember when Cade Cunningham came out and we knew one thing immediately. He was only going to work out for one team. It was the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons, when this initially, you know, when they won the first overall pick, were immediately tied to Cade Cunningham. This is the part where, yes, you know, you sit out there, you field some offers, you take some calls, but both Zach Lowe of ESPN, Wager and Wojnarowski, they had a draft special the other day. They said it. They would be stunned if Cade Cunningham is not going to the Detroit Pistons, and I think that's the case. Now, what I think this does do, though, James, this is something I've brought up on multiple hits that I've talked about this with. For the second overall pick, it does look like it's going to be Green in that pick. There's a reason why the Rockets want to move up, but it's Cade Cunningham, who seems to be a very good and generational talent. But the other thing to me that it speaks of is they want a piece in their backcourt. Their backcourt is old. It is decrepit. And if they cannot get Cade Cunningham, then they go with the next best thing at two, which is going to be Jalen Green. And it's not going to be Evan Mobley. It doesn't fit the parameters of what this front office likes to do, what they're scouting, what they need. And from a roster standpoint, it just doesn't fit with what they need. They spent money in the offseason. Season last year in their backcourt piece in Christian Wood, UNLV zone, and I think that this is more of a look at a backcourt piece, and if it's not going to be Cunningham, then I think it's going to be Green. So I think that's kind of what I take away from it. And not so much that maybe they get Cunningham, they're looking for a piece in that backcourt. If they're not getting the first overall pick, they're going with the second best thing at number two.
So help us out with that second pick too, JVT, because Green, G League player, people might be familiar with him. I think he averaged, almost 18 points a game in 15 games. And then the other choice could be Suggs at plus 652. So difference between Green and Suggs, in your opinion?
Yeah, so I think, you know, when you're looking at it, Pritch, if you look at a guy like Jalen Green, you know, again, he's kind of more of a two. Jalen Suggs is a little bit more of a type of a point guard, right? A true point. Jalen Green, though, is going to be a legitimate scoring. Like, there have been comps to a Bradley Beal type player, and you just need a little bit more pop in that backcourt if you are the Houston Rockets, right? You still have John Wall. John Wall is a perfectly fine player if he's going to be healthy. It's a big question. But if you're going to roll forward into next year, a Jalen Green type, I think, is going to be the best option for for you, because this Rockets offense struggled immensely at times throughout last season. And I think a piece like Jalen Green, if you're going to pair him up with John Wall to help him out in terms of his game, remember John Wall played very well with Bradley Beal a couple of the times, right? We saw them when they were in Washington. It just fits from that perspective as well. And just in terms of overall talent, and talk about the way that these guys are looked at, it just seems like Jalen Green is by far the second overall player here. Suggs has worked his way up, but I don't know if Suggs has worked his way up far enough to be the second overall pick. And I think if you just look at everything, whether it's roster construction, payroll, all of these things, a guy like Green fits a little bit better with what the Rockets want to do.
JVT, moving on from future pros to current pros that are playing over in Tokyo right now. Really want to get your assessment. Now, I'm an eye test guy. I got up at 6 a.m. ready to watch the game yesterday. I had France plus 12.5, and I was actually excited to get up and watch the game. Didn't realize that the money I pay for my DirecTV service and the hundreds of channels that I get didn't allow me to be able to watch the game. So I don't have the benefit of having the eye test to really break down what happened in yesterday's game. Did you get to see the game? And then from that standpoint, what do you take away from the first game that we saw from the USA team that couldn't beat a France?
Yeah, you know, I've watched the second half, James, and I'm going to go back and watch the replay on Peacock. You got to get Peacock, apparently. And apparently, I get it as part of my cable package, so I'm totally down with this. But regardless, look, I think there's a couple of things that we should really establish here, James, and this is one of them, which is this is a good French team. You know, I wrote about this in the preview for these Olympics. This French team has the ability to be the best defensive team in this tournament, right? There is no goaltending. There is no three-second violation. It's just Rudy Gobert planted in the paint. You have elite perimeter defenders. You have Nick Batum, you have Evan Fournier, you have Frank Ntilikina, Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot is on this team as well. This is a solid group in terms of what they can do defensively, and you saw it in that third quarter where they hold the Americans to 11 points. They hit 5 3-pointers in that quarter as well. It's a decent shooting team too, so I don't think it should be lost that this is a really solid club in terms of just being France, right? The other part of it was Kevin Durant was in foul trouble. Remember, you know, it's not 6 fouls like in the NBA, it's 5, and so he was sitting for most of the time. He had 5 or 4 fouls. He was dealing with that throughout the game. But you saw in the fourth quarter the potential of this America team, right? They went on an 18-5 run. They were getting out in transition. They were hitting three-point shots. It was just a little too late. And you get a wild play in the fourth quarter in which the ball is going out of bounds. It is saved. It gets slapped back into the hands of Evan Fournier, who hits a desperate three that gives them a lead, and they don't look back from there. So there were a couple things that went the French way. And look, the Americans, I wrote about this. My whole thing with Team USA, James, has been I think they're going to struggle a little bit early. Yeah, these numbers that you're going to see are going to be pretty high. But as the tournament goes on and as they get used to these FIBA rules, and remember, three of the guys that were on there were just playing in the NBA Finals 3 nights before. As the tournament progresses, I think they're going to get better. But it does give you an opportunity, inflated point totals against the good teams. Not every single one of them, but against the good teams like the French in the knockout stages, if they meet in Australia early or Spain, you know, those are going to be maybe some opportunities to play against these Americans. But as this tournament moves on, I still have faith here that they're going to get better. They're going to work out the kinks, and they're going to compete for that gold medal, make it to the medal game potentially.
Oh, USA, USA, USA. I hear you, JVT, but they got to do it, right? I mean, yep. Slovenia is good when Luka can go for 48. So betting the Olympics is fascinating to me, though, in terms of game by game or just looking out in front of Team USA. Going into it, we thought that USA wasn't going to be a great defensive basketball team. So they got to get their act together, certainly on one end of the court.
Yeah, well, and that's important too, right, Pritch? Because like let's take the third quarter for example. You know, this Team USA, this USA squad, one of their biggest strengths is going to be get out in transition, right? Score in transition in the fast break. But for that to happen, you need to have missed shots. You got to grab those rebounds. You got to get out and run. It's exactly what the Milwaukee Bucks did to the Phoenix Suns, right? They killed the Suns in transition off of live rebounds. And these Americans need to do the same thing. But in like a third quarter where the shots are falling at a high rate for your opponent, well, all of a sudden you can't get out in transition. Now you got to play half court offense. Now all of a sudden Rudy Gobert gets to get set. These guys get to play their defense. And so that's going to be a little bit of a problem. So you're right. Like, I think you're absolutely right. It starts with them defensively because that leads to their offensive opportunities. And I'd say this too, Pritch, you know, one of the things that I've been looking at from a betting perspective, the one thing I did have in that game, because I agreed with the market move, James got a good number. It went really quick, like from 14 down to 11.5, whatever it was, under the 176.5, though. And I think these French games are going to be some under contests. And I think some of these American games, depending again on the opponent, you don't want to blindly bet them. But against some of the quality competition, they're going to be some lower scoring games because I think they're going to have some trouble in some half court offense situations. And you saw that against the French the other day. And I think there was 158 total points, somewhere in that range, way under the total.
He's outstanding. Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA expert. Follow him on Twitter at MeJVT. JVT, that was awesome. Thanks a lot.
Always appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate you as well. The thing, though, James, when Durant is in foul trouble, you're supposed to have another all-star behind him. That, look, you're not supposed to fall off a cliff, I think, and or be worried about that situation either way. But maybe some people are uneasy about Team USA moving forward. We'll see what develops there with that team. That'll do it for hour number one. Hour number two, though, we're going to start with our deep dive into the National Football League. We got Dallas Cowboys. We're going to deep dive into that team. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.